Dr. Joel Nitzkin is a public health physician, board certified in preventive medicine as his medical specialty. He is a senior fellow for tobacco policy at the R Street Institute. He joins us on the phone right now to talk about the latest in the vaping situation. Hey, Dr. Joel, how are you this morning?
Doing fine, and you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for jumping on the phone with us. We appreciate it. We've been talking a little bit leading up to our interview here about the latest with the vaping. I was reading from a New York Times article from today and about the Trump administration and what they're looking at as far as these flavors and banning certain flavors. Let's start at the beginning with vaping. And am I right that did it really start out as a way to help cigarette smokers get their nicotine fix without all the dangers of cigarettes?
That's exactly right. That was the idea of the e-cigarette when it was first invented. It was a low-risk substitute for cigarettes, one that would not carry the extreme risks of cancer, heart disease, and lung disease.
Do we know that there are not extreme risks when it's done right? I mean, there's nicotine in there, but is there enough? Have there been studies? Have there been enough research to know what sucking in this vapor does to the lungs?
Well, we have a decade of an excellent safety record for e-cigarettes. We know that properly made e-cigarettes don't cause any kind of lung disease. As a matter of fact, for people with lung disease who start vaping e-cigarettes, their symptoms improve about the same amount they would improve if they were smoking and quit smoking.
So when we hear all of these stories of these kids and the issues that they're having, is it, as some of the articles have suggested, maybe not about the properly manufactured products, but about the black market products that people and kids are making, this vape juice with THC and other things that are not the ones sold in stores?
Well, this pneumonia is obviously due to something that's new on the illicit marketplace. It's due to a combination of THC or some type of other marijuana preparation with vitamin E. And that's what's causing this pneumonia. It's a new phenomenon. It's from a new product. It's totally illicit. And we know that that's what the cause of this pneumonia is. It has nothing to do with any of the nicotine-based e-cigarettes. But research is still continuing to figure out what in this mix is causing the marijuana. So that part is still under investigation.
So every kid that's had a medical injury or, all of these injuries or these deaths or the medically induced comas or these kids who are in their 20s and now the doctor's saying they have the lungs of a 70-year-old, all of those have been related to THC-infused vape juice that is black market made?
Every single one of them, where we have reasonably complete information, has a history of vaping this kind of a THC-related product. Now, we don't have that information on all the cases, but for all the ones we do, that's clearly the case. And there are some cases where we just don't have the information. There may be some cases where the kid didn't know what he or she was vaping.
So when we talk about the administration banning all these flavored vape juices and these things that seem like they might be more appealing to kids, is that a good idea, or is that, throwing something that's not going to be completely unrelated to what the issue is? Or is it, we don't want, maybe those are starters, and then the kids graduate to the THC thing, so if we stop them from vaping in the first place, that's still a good thing?
It doesn't make a lick of sense. It really doesn't. They're basically banning and restricting the wrong product. And people should really be informed that it's this black market new THC product that is the problem. And people who have been vaping nicotine, especially those who've been vaping it as a substitute for cigarettes and a way to quit cigarettes, should continue vaping what they have been using. If you're using the same product you were using a year ago, keep using it.
Well, Dr. Nitzkin, would you disagree, though, that these things have been marketed towards kids? Do you think that the companies have erred in how they've marketed these things and that they were appealing to teenagers?
Well, there's no question that they were appealing to teenagers. The question of whether or not they were marketed to kids is another question. That question means, you know, if it's marketed to young adults, persons 21 to 35 years of age, does that mean it's being marketed to kids under 18? Well, probably not, but even though it's not being specifically marketed to this younger population, they may find it very attractive. Now, with the Juul product and Juul knockoffs, there are a number of things that just make it very attractive to almost anyone, especially kids.
Mm-hmm.
One is the bigger nicotine kick that you get from it. The second, that it's a stealth product. It's just so easy to hide. It looks like a flash drive, and it's also a stealth product because if you use it properly, there's no vapor cloud to give away the fact that you've been vaping.
That's very interesting because the New York Times article was talking about how kids hide this in school, and I think, how in the world do they hide this? Because whenever I've seen somebody vaping, I've always been stunned by the amount of, I guess it's not smoke, is that steam or whatever that is that they blow out of their mouths? It looks like a ginormous cloud. So there are ways to vape where you're not revealing that cloud that we've seen?
Well, the Juul product and the Juul knockoffs are basically designed to produce little or no cloud. But even with a traditional e-cigarette, if you wait a few seconds from the time you inhale to the time you exhale, there will be little or no cloud.
Mm. So let me make sure I understand, Dr. Nitzkin. You're defending vaping itself, that it there's a decade of it being done, and there have not been these medical problems.
I am defending vaping as a substitute for smoking.
Okay, so if you were already
that
smoking...
That is the one legitimate reason to vape.
Okay.
If you're not a smoker, don't vape. This stuff is not risk-free.
Right. What are the risks, even on the good products, down the road? Just that you're putting this into your lungs, it's still a negative overall, even if you're not putting in the tar and everything else that comes in a traditional cigarette?
Well, quite frankly, the risks are theoretical. For the basic nicotine e-cigarettes, because there's the possibility that there may be some contaminants in there. It certainly can be irritating to some people. The British have made the estimate that vaping nicotine is less than 5% the risk of cigarettes. There is the risk of becoming addicted to nicotine,
mm-hmm.
if you're not already addicted. The risks are small. We're not sure what they are. There, quite frankly, have not been significant adverse effects from the vaping of properly made and properly maintained nicotine-related vape devices. Now, if it's not properly maintained or if somebody tries putting other stuff into the vape liquid, well, all bets are off. But if you stick with the stuff from the manufacturer, the stuff that you buy at the convenience store, the drugstore, the vape shop, and you don't put in the wrong battery, you should do just fine.
Well, is that reason enough to push Juul and the other manufacturers harder to make sure that these aren't getting into the hands of kids? Because in general, kids have done, we have done a good job, I think you would say, in this country of discouraging kids from smoking. The smoking rates have gone way down, right? But now this new thing is introduced that the kids certainly have taken to. And if they start with a regular product, a good Juul product, because it's appealing and because they're these good flavors, I imagine they're graduating then to the THC, and we should try the THC and let's do the marijuana one. And that's where the real issues have come in, right?
Well, not exactly. First of all, people have been vaping marijuana for as long as they've been vaping nicotine. And until just a few months ago, even the marijuana products with marijuana-designed vaporizers have done just fine. They have an excellent safety record. The one thing that doesn't have an excellent safety record is this new concoction with THC and vitamin E. Now, the question of flavors, I think, is based on a myth. It just seems so obvious to so many people that fruit and candy flavors attract kids to use these products. Well, the cigarette companies years ago tried fruit and candy flavors, and nobody, not the kids or anybody else, would use them. The only flavor that attracted kids was menthol, and that's exactly the same flavor that attracted adults. So you can't say it was just precisely aimed at kids. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem with banning flavors in e-cigarette devices is that the flavors are very important to smokers who are using these products to quit cigarettes. The way that works is that when an ex-smoker who's vaping switches from the tobacco flavor to a fruit or candy flavor, they discover they no longer like the taste of tobacco. Once that transition occurs, when the urge to smoke returns, they don't go back to cigarettes. They go back to the candy or fruit-flavored e-cigarette. So banning the flavors will reduce the efficacy for smokers who are using it to quit. I don't think banning the flavors will reduce teen use of these products at all. I think that's purely a myth.
Let me read something from one of these stories to you. Nancy Brown, CEO of the American Heart Association, said that vaping companies such as Juul have targeted youth and adolescents through marketing campaigns and flavors that attract kids. Quote, federal officials should immediately remove all flavored e-cigarettes from the market, Brown said. They should also take other necessary measures to end all marketing to children, prohibit online sales of e-cigarettes, exercise rigorous pre-market review, and closely review e-cigarette products already on the market. You would disagree with that statement then, right?
I would say that statement is based more on myth than fact. Now, there are a couple of studies out there where they ask, you know, kids and adults what flavors they prefer. And it showed that more kids, if they're going to vape, prefer fruit and candy flavors. And adults who are just experimenting with e-cigarettes favor the tobacco. So based on that statement of preference, they've concluded that the flavors must attract kids. There's no evidence that eliminating the flavors will reduce the number of kids who are vaping. And as I said before, this was tried with cigarettes, and flavoring the cigarettes just didn't work.
Then do you think that the sales should be restricted? I believe Illinois passed a law recently. Should sales be restricted to anybody under 21?
Yeah, well, let's put it this way. First of all, sales are generally restricted almost anywhere to kids under 18. Now, the difference between 18 and 21 is access in the high school environment. Mm-hmm. Somewhere around 20% of high school seniors are 18 years of age or above. And so they can make it available in the high school environment. The vast majority of kids who vape, in fact, the vast majority of kids who smoke who are under 18 years of age, didn't buy it at a store online. They bought it or got it from a friend. Now, raising the age of purchase from 18 to 21 is a big step towards getting it out of the high school environment, so those 18-year-old high school seniors have very limited access to this stuff. That would be a very important step to take. Another thing that nobody seems to be talking about is that they also have basically the same array of tobacco and marijuana products in England that they have here. But Great Britain has not had an epidemic of vaping in their high school students. They have not had kids claiming to become addicted to Juul, and they have not had any of them pneumonia.
Well, what's the difference over there?
Well, there are several differences over there. Number one, the British authorities, rather than banning all this stuff, restrict the marketing and allow the vape companies to say, you can use this stuff to quit smoking. It puts a whole different view on it. Instead of being the cool, forbidden thing to do, this is something you can do if you're smoking to stop smoking. The second thing that they've done is they've reduced the allowable content of nicotine in the cartridges. The American Juul cartridges contain 5 milligrams of nicotine per milliliter. The allowable maximum in Great Britain is 2 milligrams per milliliter.
Mm.
And apparently that's enough to moderate the nicotine hit and prevent kids from becoming addicted to it.
How does that work for people quitting smoking? Is it not nearly... I wonder if it's not as effective if somebody who's trying to quit smoking over there is more likely to still smoke because they're not getting their nicotine fix.
Well, it's less effective for quitting smoking. The one statistic that nobody seems to be talking about in this area is that from 2018 to 2019, to the data gathered by the Americans, the rate of smoking cigarettes among teens has dropped from 8.2 to 5.7%. This is a 25% reduction in 1 year. Mm-hmm. And that seems to suggest that this high dose of nicotine that's causing all these other problems is much more effective than anything else we've tried to get kids to stop smoking.
Well, in that amount of time, maybe, but getting down to 8.2% is a big victory over 20 years ago, I bet, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a big victory. I mean, we have a situation where, you know, because of the relentless anti-cigarette smoking, there's been a steady, slow but steady year-by-year drop. The advent of e-cigarettes accelerated the reduction of smoking among kids. So it's become even less frequent. One of the things that we worry about is that all this anti-e-cigarette programming, the banning of flavors, the restrictions in use, some states even banning e-cigarettes altogether, is going to drive all these people, both the kids and the adults, to both contraband vape products and back to cigarettes.
Yeah.
Which will be a big step backwards from a public health perspective.
So, now, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind that the only tobacco product that kills substantial numbers of people is cigarettes. The CDC estimate is that cigarettes kill 1,300 Americans each and every day. That people who are regular long-term smokers, a pack or more a day, will lose 10 years of their life and have a 30 to 50% chance of dying of a cigarette-related illness. No other tobacco product or tobacco-related product is anywhere near that toxic.
Mm-hmm.
So if we come to e-cigarettes, and even if the number of deaths that we've seen so far were actually related to the nicotine e-cigarettes, that number of fatalities is trivial compared to the number who were smoking cigarettes. Now, e-cigarettes have the potential to make the real cigarettes obsolete. This could be an enormous public health victory, replacing this deadly product with a product that kills few, if any, people. But it seems like people have gotten so excited with this anti-e-cigarette rhetoric.
Well, Dr. Nitzkin,
that they've forgotten how toxic cigarettes are.
Dr. Nitzkin, kids are dying. Kids have died because of this. Now, maybe not because of the legal products, but because this industry has been created and it's being supported by the tobacco industry and it's a moneymaker for them.
Whoa. You're moving a little bit too fast. First of all, e-cigarettes were invented by somebody that was totally outside the big cigarette tobacco industry.
I'm sorry, who owns the Juul company?
The big tobacco cigarette companies were late in coming into the e-cigarettes. Now, Altria, the makers Well, it's actually Philip Morris International, the makers of Marlboro cigarettes, bought up 30-some percent of the Juul company.
Okay.
The reason these big tobacco cigarette companies got into the e-cigarette business is they were afraid of being what they called Kodak. Kodak, if you can remember, was the big company in terms of film photography. Along came digital photography, and Kodak didn't move into it, and because of that, Kodak went belly up. These cigarette companies have bought into vape products because they're afraid that these vape products might make cigarettes obsolete.
Okay, so it's a moneymaker.
So
for
they
them,
didn't invite it. They didn't start it. It's their goal to make money. Yeah,
right.
Sure, they would like to addict everybody to these new products, but
right.
That's something that wise and effective public health regulation can prevent. But it's wrong to say that vaping is an invention of the big tobacco cigarette companies for the purpose of addicting another generation of kids.
Fine, it wasn't,
that's not how it
wasn't
started.
An invention of theirs, but it's their goal now. I mean, if they own it and it's a moneymaker, they want people using the products. I mean, that's safe to say, right?
Yeah, that's safe to say. They definitely want to make money doing this. And how is public health, you know, to respond? Is our goal trying to damage and put big cigarette companies out of business because we don't like them because they've been liars and cheats and racketeers in the past? Or should our goal be protection of the health of the American people?
Well,
nobody ever envisioned that the cigarette companies might be selling a product that could save lives by weaning people off cigarettes.
Well, it's tough to, doctor. I mean, you're giving them credit for they're saving lives by weaning people off cigarettes. They're saving lives by weaning them off the product that they have that's killing people. I mean, that's hard to give them all this kudos for what they're doing. Because they're still going from one addiction to another. And yes, if it's safe, that's completely different. You know, you said that in the last decade, there have been no vaping-related deaths or injuries on the legal product that's regulated and done well. It's this black market stuff that's the issue. But, you know, Big Tobacco has a history of marketing towards kids and trying to get people to use cigarettes and things like that. So we just lost Dr. Juul. I don't know what just happened. I don't think it was something I said. I'm assuming that he got cut off. Let's take a quick break, and we'll go to the news next here on 720 WGN. That was just an issue with Dr. Nitzkin's phone. He will jump back on with us. It wasn't something I said, even though we're having a good, healthy discussion about this. Let's get a quick check in the news, and then we'll get back to that. Chicago Stories told 24/7 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. 3:01 in the morning. Here's the news with Roger Badish. Matt DeVal here with you on 720 WGN, 3:10 in the morning. Thanks for staying up late with us. We're talking about vaping and all the issues you've heard in the news recently about the illnesses, about the administration looking into banning some of the different flavors, only allowing the nicotine flavors. Dr. Juul Nitzkin, who is a fellow at the, let me make sure I get it right, the tobacco senior fellow for tobacco policy at the R Street Institute, is on the phone with us. Your phone cut off right before we were headed to the news there, Dr. Nitzkin. Just want to make sure I didn't say anything that it just broke up. Wasn't a.
Yeah.
I'm not having this.
I have no idea
anymore.
What happened.
Okay. No worries. No worries. So thank you for jumping back on with us to talk a little bit more. While we were in the news, I was reading a New York Times story from. This is, I think, a year old. Let me see this back at the top. They did a story back on August 27th of 2018 about Juul and their luring of teenagers or not. And some of the, and it's a very interesting little history of the company because they talk about some of the marketing campaigns they had early on, and that early on, they knew that this was more popular with teens than maybe they wanted. It, you know, the story says that they wanted to get people in their 20s and 30s to quit smoking and use this, but they found very early on that it was very appealing to teenagers. So we can set that aside. Let's not worry about that. We can disagree on that for now. That's fine. My other question I wanted to ask about, though, states are restricting. Federally, you can't buy it if you're under 18. Some states are moving to make it 21. But the online issue is another issue that kids can pretty easily buy these things online. Do you think there should be a bigger restriction on that and more regulation on how, you know, the ease of teenagers getting these, still having it is? Or are you okay with teenagers having it and more concerned about the THC infused and the other things that people are making that are, in your mind, causing the real issue?
Well, let me put it this way. The restrictions on sales, online and otherwise, should be the same for all tobacco-related products. You shouldn't have a situation in which there are restrictions that are imposed on nicotine-based e-cigarettes that aren't based on cigarettes or cigars or hookah materials. It should be across the board. We don't want teens using any of these products.
And I apologize, I don't know, because I don't smoke. Can I buy cigarettes online? If I wanted to buy cigarettes, can I easily order those online?
Yeah, you can purchase them online.
That seems surprising.
But anyway, and some of these websites, you know, but that's not a common way of getting them. And the websites claim they have verifiable ways of restricting age. I'm not sure how well they work. But, online purchasing should be carefully looked at and be carefully restricted. Now, one of the problems that we have is that the FDA has never formally recognized a legitimate use for vaping of nicotine-based e-cigarettes. They have no manufacturing standards. They haven't promulgated any mechanism by which a potential user can tell the good stuff from the bad stuff. And their failure to do that has invited all kinds of operators, some of whom are very irresponsible, into the marketplace.
I was reading and that it says that it's not regulated. They can make these under a waiver from the FDA. What is the story with that? Is it that the FDA takes so long to approve and do its research on anything? Is that what's holding up any more serious regulation of vaping? Why is it that the FDA doesn't seem to have better oversight on this?
The hang-up is within the FDA. And the hang-up is that the law says that, products that are lower in risk than cigarettes should be, you know, the development and sale of them should be encouraged to give a mechanism for smokers to use such products to quit smoking and as a transition away from nicotine use at all. Well, the FDA advisory committees have adopted the attitude that they're looking for zero risk. Well, zero risk in any product is a physical impossibility, so FDA is kind of hung up. Compare this to the British, who say, okay, these products aren't risk-free. They're much lower in risk than cigarettes. We will set what, in our judgment, are reasonable safety standards. We will allow them to claim efficacy for lower risk in smoking cessation and let them market the products for those purposes. But allowing them to market it for those purposes will prohibit other forms of marketing that would, you know, appeal to kids on an emotional basis and things like that. And their system isn't perfect, but it's a whole lot better than ours. But right now we have a situation where FDA prohibits any of these products that we know to be lower in risk, that we know to be effective for smoking cessation. They're prohibiting the companies from saying these products are lower in risk, these products are safe for cessation. FDA prohibits them from doing it. So if they're going to sell their products, how do they let people know that they're out there?
They've done an okay job of that, apparently, because a lot of people are using them, right? I mean, they've gotten around, how are we going to let people know they're out there, right?
Well, another thing is looking at the data on the high school students in the United States. I mean, from the hype coming from the the public health community, you get the impression that these products are recruiting lots of non-smoking kids, or kids who've never wanted to smoke, to use of these products. That's not what the data show. The data show that lots of kids of all types experiment with these products, maybe use them occasionally. But when you take a look at kids who use them 20 times or more a month, more than 95% of these kids have either been smoking themselves or have in the past used marijuana. So this idea of them recruiting lots of kids who otherwise wouldn't have smoked cigarettes or wouldn't have smoked marijuana isn't borne out by the data to date, even with the reports of these of this epidemic.
The studies show that up to 25% of kids in high school are vaping. Were 25%
of the kids in high school have tried a vape product.
Okay, we're up
within the last 30 days.
We're up to 25% of kids in high school smoking cigarettes? And the numbers were small, were well smaller than that, weren't they?
Well, it depends on what you're talking about. Are you talking about
had tried to smoke
occasionally experimenting with them? Yeah, about 20% of the kids have experimented with cigarettes. They try it, and they don't follow through.
Dr. Nitzkin, you'd have to agree that this is not a precedent you'd like, that this many kids are trying. The New York Times article that I was reading from today, the girl was at the Crystal Lake High School where they were doing all this, and she was talking to the kids and saying, yeah, it says, 25% of kids have tried this, and the kids were laughing at her with that 25% number saying that's crazy because just about everybody has tried this. And I'm sure that that's an exaggeration, but it sounds like kids are saying that's a bit underreported, that more kids are trying this than are not. We can disagree about whether they marketed it towards kids or not, or whether that was their intention. But it seems frightening that America had done a good job of getting kids away from smoking. And I know we want to help adults quit smoking, but this does seem to be an issue, I believe, greater than what you're saying, these kids trying these products. And even if, it's not that many kids trying it, any kid trying a nicotine-based product, where you said it's a lot of nicotine here in the American version of this, is setting up, and you're talking about the FDA. So in this New York Times article from last year, the FDA commissioned research published in January, so it was January 2018, found limited evidence that e-cigarettes led smokers to quit, and some evidence suggested that young people who use e-cigarettes are more likely to try actual cigarettes.
Okay. You've brought up a number of different things. Yes, I agree with you. It's a very troublesome situation. It's not a situation we would desire. It is a situation that requires public health action. But as we sort all this out, we ought to identify what actions are appropriate. And we also should look across the pond and ask the question, how come the Brits haven't had these problems? Maybe there's something in the approach that they've taken it that have prevented them having the problems we're having here. Now, the evidence that e-cigarettes help people quit is based on population data showing that more people have quit smoking using e-cigarettes than any of the pharmaceutical preparations. Quitting cold turkey is still best. FDA considers smoking to be a disease. And because they consider it to be a disease, they consider any product that claims to be effective to help people quit smoking should be considered a drug. And the kind of study that's required for drugs is what they call randomized clinical trials. And the randomized clinical trials, with the exception of one recent one, shows that e-cigarettes are about the same efficacy as the pharmaceutical preparations. Well, the problem with that is that in real life, the pharmaceutical patches and gums and so on do not satisfy a smoker's urge to smoke, and it takes a lot of willpower and a willingness to, spend a lot of money on these products to use them. But in real life, e-cigarettes are very attractive. They satisfy the urge to smoke for most of many people. And they're much more effective than the pharmaceutical preparations because people use them willingly. It's the only product that we know of that has been effective in getting people to quit smoking who had no interest in quitting smoking. So the evidence is there, but this evidence has been basically pushed aside by those in the public health community who feel that smoking is a disease and requires drug-related studies to document it.
Well, is that part is that part of how the FDA is, though? I mean, you mentioned in Great Britain they're doing it this way. I mean, we could go with drug after drug that has had success for years in European countries and is now just being tried here in America because we just have a much more, I don't know, would you say thorough or maybe onerous system for getting things passed and getting things approved and getting everything worked out? Is that part of it? Is just the FDA takes forever to pass anything and approve of anything?
No. Not in this particular case as I see it. If FDA considered smoking to be a behavior instead of a disease, mm-hmm. they would look to other data for evidence of efficacy. E-cigarettes are a behavioral change agent. They don't eliminate the urge to take in nicotine. They just provide a substitute, an alternate nicotine-related product, where the user continues to take in the nicotine, but by doing so, eliminates all the risk caused by the other nasty chemicals in cigarette smoke. It's an entirely different situation that requires an entirely different approach. Another thing to keep in mind with all these statistics is that the Centers for Disease Control, in their studies of vaping in high school and elsewhere, considers all vaping to be nicotine vaping, even though we realize that a lot of it is marijuana vaping and a significant amount of it is just vaping for the flavors because it's a cool activity with no active ingredient. When you start sorting through all this information, what you discover is that a lot of the so-called epidemic is probably an epidemic of marijuana vaping. The rest of it is because of the popularity of this jewel product. It's a very complex situation. It's a situation that that's not desirable, that does warrant public health action, but if we're going to take the correct action and do it sensibly, we have to recognize exactly what's going on with these kids in these schools. And the banning of flavors is just the wrong approach.
Well, there's a study cited in one of these articles that I'm reading here that says that in a survey, kids cited the flavors as one of the reasons that they enjoyed it. So I could see where the ideas, and we talk about some of the early Juul marketing and the hip, cool ways they made it look, you know, you could see where there's an argument that, hey, this was marketed towards kids. Of course, we can all agree we don't want it in high schools. We don't want anybody who wasn't smoking using these things. Question is, how do they get there? How do they put the genie back in the bottle and try to change it? Because once things get very popular with kids, and as these other articles also state, Melody Pirzada, a pediatric pulmonologist at NYU Winthrop Hospital who's treated many teens who are developing this life-threatening lung injury after vaping marijuana, she says banning flavored products might prevent teens from getting hooked, but she still sees black market products that contain THC and other substances posing the biggest risk to vapers. Go ahead.
Well, I agree with her. The problem really is the black market products, but FDA doesn't really have anything going to enable them to directly attack these black market products.
Well, how are you ever going to attack a black market product, though? I mean, people are going to make things on their own. There's only so much you can do about that, right? I mean, the bigger goal would be get kids not to be on this in the first place. Kids are always going to find a way. Somebody's going to find a way to, especially, I mean, we're in Illinois, we're going to sell recreational marijuana. There's going to be THC oils and different things people can get their hands on very easily that they can start creating this with. So I would imagine the black market is going to be there. Well, wouldn't you agree that the bigger thing is you're never going to control a black market to a great extent in certain things? We need to get kids not to want to start vaping in the first place if they're not trying to wean themselves off cigarettes.
Okay, there are a number of steps that could be taken that would move us in that direction. Step number one is prohibiting sales to kids who are under 21 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
Another step to be taken would be FDA developing manufacturing standards by which they said, okay, these products are reasonably safe. These other products are not and should be prohibited if they don't meet these quality standards. And that would give FDA a very direct way to go after the black marketeers. Now, the black marketeers aren't going to make and sell products that they can't make a profit on. And if they're going to be prosecuted, that's another inhibition for large scale, black marketing. You know, we have a lot of experience from the prohibition of alcohol 100 years ago. And apparently these lessons have not really been learned by the regulators. And the FDA right now, because of the fact that the federal government considers marijuana to be a prohibited drug, they don't have the authority to issue regulations. The only way they can regulate it is to recognize it as something that would be recognized as legal if it is made in a certain way and marketed in a certain way, allow that marketing and that sales, and go after the rest. They don't have that authority or that ability right now. And because they don't have that, they really haven't looked carefully at marijuana. Some of the data that came out for the very first time last year, focusing on the non-smokers who became regular e-cigarette vapers, half of those kids had been using marijuana before they switched to the nicotine e-cigarettes. So,
and they're stopping with the marijuana, or they're still smoking marijuana?
We don't have that information.
Yeah.
Our experience with these kids with these pneumonias is that it's very common to see kids using multiple nicotine and marijuana products all at the same time.
I'm going to end real quick here with three texts that came through. 870 writes, it may help some people quit smoking, but it is creating more people addicted to nicotine. 312 writes, I quit smoking 4 years ago. No matter what cessation product you use, withdrawal is inevitable. That's why I know people that say they quit smoking yet still use e-cigarettes a year later. Just quit and suffer the withdrawals. It worked for me. And 708 writes, smoked for 40 years, started vaping 5 years ago. Haven't had a cigarette since I started vaping. I believe it saved my life. It's a complex issue. There's going to be a lot more to talk about it with this over the next year. Dr. Joel Nitzkin is a senior fellow at the Tobacco Policy at the R Street Institute. Dr. Nitzkin, I really appreciate your time tonight. Thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, thank you. There's a lot to continue on this this issue.
Yeah, I hope we can talk again. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's 3:30 in the morning. Let's take a quick break. We'll have the news next on 720 WGN.